fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. Hope you have a wonderful and a restful week and an opportunity to celebrate the Lord's Day with family, to receive the Lord and really set the day apart to be able to renewed and be strengthened by Christ, who is our Lord. We need the Lord's Day more than ever, I think, in our crazy culture that we're living in these days. How intense, how busy, it's intense secularization. And it's a really destabilizing time politically, socially, for so many people. And what we need is sanity. We need quiet, we need peace, we need connection with God. And it's such an important time for the church to be the church, to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And a key means for making that happen is the gift of the Eucharist, is the body of Christ coming together to set aside this day, this Lord's Day, a day of rest, to be with the Lord, and then to feed on the Lord's word and to feed on his body and blood as a community of brothers and sisters together who need to be strengthened, to be fed by the Lord. It's such an important thing now for us. And I think lots of people scramble trying to figure out how to navigate these very confusing times and how to have an impact on the society and the culture that we're living in. One of the most important ways we can have an impact, friends, is to be the church. And one of the fundamental ways we are the church, one of the most fundamental ways, the source and summit of our life as the church, is to really live the Eucharist, really be a communion of brothers and sisters, fallen, broken sinners, who come together to feed on the Lord, to be strengthened by his word, to literally be fed by his body and blood. Friends, we need supernatural food now more than ever to be a supernatural source of grace for the world that we live in. Only the Lord will give us the internal peace that we need, the confidence in him, and the capacity and the power to be salt and light at this crucial time in the history of our country. I was reading a beautiful passage from 1 John, meditating on it. I want to just share with you this morning. It's from chapter 5 of 1 John. I encourage you to read these letters if you have a chance. They're very short. There's three short letters, 1 John 1, 2, and 3. They're toward the end of the Bible, sort of just before the book of Revelation. And they're powerful. And they speak a great deal about the eternal life that's been given to us in Christ, the love of God. The way to express love for God is in obedience to the commandments, and that his commandments are not burdensome. They're not burdensome because the fundamental grace has been given to us in the power of the Holy Spirit. The real game-changing grace for the Christian is to live by a new power and a new internal capacity to love God and the things of God through the grace and power of the Holy Spirit, which we receive through the sacraments and many other ways in our life. But I just wanted to read section 5. It begins like this. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. It's a beautiful line, isn't it? To be born of God. Remember in the Gospel of John, the first chapter, John tells us that by believing in Christ, God gave us power to become children of God. The most important thing that's happening on the face of the earth is the work of the kingdom of God, bringing men and women from darkness to light, bringing men and women from a state of alienation from God to becoming literally children of God, born of God, born of the power of the Spirit that makes us a new creation. He goes on, he said, and everyone who loves the parent loves the begotten by him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. So, throughout John's letters, it's a tremendous call to recognize both God's initiative, God's love. God is a father who sent his son, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not die but would have everlasting life. That the entire mission of Christ and the Holy Spirit originates in the heart of a loving father. Jesus came to bear witness to the truth about the Father, that the Father is love, that he's not a distant force, impersonal, or an angry, vengeful God stomping around in heaven, disappointed in everybody on earth, He's a loving Father who understands the battle we're in and has come literally to save us from it. And he saves us from it through the precious gift of his Son in the life, death, resurrection of Jesus and his ascension to the right hand of the Father, the beginning of the new creation. And it's God's love poured out in Jesus Christ that saves us. And part of that salvation is sharing in Christ's life. That's the essence of it, in the power of the Holy Spirit given to us at baptism. We're born of God by God's action and God's initiative through Jesus, who makes it possible for us to be, as John mentions in the third chapter of his gospel, to be born again. We're born again by water and the Spirit. We're made alive in the Spirit. The beginning of this first letter, John speaks so eloquently about what the apostles saw in the person of Jesus and what they proclaimed, what their message was. They knew their lives had been absolutely transformed, not just because they took a teaching and decided to apply that teaching specifically in their lives with greater intention. Their communication to us was to say, the teaching they received is worth dying for because of the reality that they experienced, that Jesus Christ is God's Son. He died and rose again from the dead, and they saw him, touched him. So listen to what they say in the first chapter of this letter. That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, that is Jesus, right? The life was made manifest, and we saw it, and we testified to it. And we proclaim to you that the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing this that our joy may be complete. You know, they're living in the joy of the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. The Spirit gives joy. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit's presence. But their testimony, right at the beginning of the letter, John wants to make it clear. We're not just passing on to you a philosophy of a spiritual guru of some kind. We're telling you that we saw something no one else in the world has ever seen. The eternal life that was with the Father has appeared to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And we beheld his glory, John says in his gospel, the glory of the resurrected Jesus Christ, having conquered the powers of sin and death, and literally in his flesh, beginning the new creation that is the only pathway to salvation for the whole world. That act of saving love that God initiated in sending Jesus is completed in his resurrection from the dead and his ascension into glory in heaven, because it's the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, united to human flesh, and it's human flesh he took through death into the glory and the presence of God the Father. He's the firstborn. God's plan of salvation is right there in the person of Jesus. And what the promise is given to us, that if we believe in Jesus Christ, the gift that the Father offers, if we repent of our sin, we accept Jesus' diagnosis of our lives, and we enter the waters of baptism and enter his communion, his church, his body, he will lead us to salvation. We're already united, put in contact with Jesus Christ in glory at the right hand of the Father in baptism. He's already given us a share in his glorious life. He's given us a down payment in the Holy Spirit. And the new creation has begun literally in each person who's been baptized into Christ. And it will be completed as we pass from death to life and we're raised by Christ to share in the life to him. Now back to chapter 5 here. He says, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. This is a constant theme of Jesus' teaching. Really simple. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And of course, that's the witness Jesus gave to all of us. He's the faithful witness. The writer of Revelation tells us Jesus is the faithful witness. What did he do? He witnessed to the truth about who God the Father is. He was utterly faithful to testifying to the truth about who the Father is and what he's called us to do. He did it to the point of death. And he was a faithful witness to us, saying to each one of us from the cross, in his passion, his life, your purpose for being, the reason you were made, is to live in union with your Father, in communion with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You're made by love, and you're made for love. And Jesus said, this is how love is expressed, through obedience to the Father, without limit. He demonstrated the Father's faithfulness and his trustworthiness and his love by walking those steps to Calvary and being crucified for us. He's speaking to you. He's speaking to me. He's saying, Peter, look at me. This is the way to life, to happiness. The only place of serenity, of freedom, of peace is in my Father. That's it. And he's given you his commands. Obey them and they will give you life. They will lead you to life. And I've given you my Spirit, a new heart, so that you'll love what I love. And I love the Father. I want the whole world, he says in chapter 14 of John's Gospel, to know I love the Father. It's what makes me tick. It's what I've come to tell you and I've come to lead you into. So at the heart of what it means to be a disciple is to love God and obey his commandments. He goes on, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Why? Because of the grace and power of the Spirit that he's given to us. He's given us an affection, Christ's own affection for the will of God, and a power and a capacity to be able to walk in it. Verse 4, I just want to end today's show reflecting on this a little bit, and then I'll begin tomorrow's show with it as well. He says, for whatever is born of God, that is, everyone who's been baptized into Christ, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This simple set of verses here, two verses, are so important for the church to internalize. Every single baptized person realize what it means to be born of God. And the power that's within us. Greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. So many of the baptized that are so intimidated by the power of the world, the direction of the world, many are drifting with the culture to get along with the world, and they're destabilized, afraid of a little bit of pressure that's coming against the faith. That's because you do not yet know the power that's within you. There's a power within you that has overcome the world. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. Friends, receive the grace and presence and power of the Spirit that Jesus has given you to live in strength and to love and obey God. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I have to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.